With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 305. Happy Tuesday. My guest is Dr. Bruno Sinopoli. He has the Preston M. Green Chair through the Department of Electrical and Systems Engineering at Washington University. Doc, am I saying your last name correctly?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Good. I always have to say that WashU is my alma mater so that you think I'm smarter than I am. So now that that's out of the way, we can continue. So we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. I only know what I've seen in movies. Like, that's the basics of what I understand. So help us to understand. I always like to start out at 101. Let's start out at the basics of what AI really is, and let's kind of build from there.
All right. First of all, thank you for having me. A lot of fun to be here. First of all, let me say that I don't particularly like the name AI, although it is now commonly used, because I don't like either artificial nor intelligence as a name. But to a larger extent is the ability to use large amounts of data to make both inferences and decisions in a number of areas and fields. By using both algorithms and statistical methods.
Doc, that's already an interesting interview, because I've never heard anyone say I don't like the name artificial intelligence, but it makes sense to me. What about that name do you not like, and what would you prefer? What is more accurate?
I like milder terms, like machine learning, for instance, I would prefer, or statistical machine learning. Mm-hmm. The relationship with intelligence is really not established at any extent. And then therefore it's a little bit artificial as a name.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it is now
a part common of the vernacular, word, right?
And it's fine.
So, Doc, would it be accurate to say that all computers are a form of AI, or is it something completely separate from my laptop?
I wouldn't say that computers are a form of AI. Computers are definitely used to run what we call AI algorithms, which at a very abstract level are just algorithms that take a whole bunch of data and draw a conclusion.
Gotcha. So in with your experience, your understanding of the field, how far are we already? Because I know, like, during the Gulf War, we had the stealth bombers come out, and we're all like, oh, my God, they're UFOs, but we'd actually had them for 15 years. So I'm sure the government has things that maybe you don't know about. But currently, what's the tip of the spear as far as AI goes?
I think we're making tremendous progress in the field. There's a lot of attention to it. People perceive a lot of opportunities, especially business opportunities. The government considers the technology a strategic one. So there's a tremendous amount of funding and of interest and of talent going into it. And that, as we know from history, is really the driver behind this big innovations. So here to Washington University, maybe one student out of two that takes computer science classes, and among them classes that involve some sort of AI. So it's a great technology. We are making great strides, and it's becoming a tool which is pervasive in almost every domain of our society.
So, Doc, as I said, the only thing I know about AI is from movies, and in movies, of course, it's always that AI becomes sentient, and then it looks at us and either makes us pets or says we don't need these guys at all, they're the cause of all the problems, let's eradicate them. To what degree do you have any sort of fears about an individual piece of AI or AI overall being a very bad thing for humanity in the future?
I think, like every great technology, nuclear energy comes to mind. There are great opportunities, but it poses also some threats that don't come from the technology itself, but from the use of it. In particular, with AI, there are several areas where we should exercise caution and where the use of AI could become detrimental to humankind. I will just cite a few. The first one is, is the one of bias. AI bias is basically the underlying prejudice in data that is used to create these AI algorithms, and ultimately can result in discriminations or other social consequences. For instance, let's say that I want to create an algorithm that decides whether an applicant gets accepted into a university or not. Right? Let's say that one of the inputs upon which I make this decision is the geographic location, right? Now, if the geographic location is somehow correlated with ethnicity, the result of it might be that involuntarily I discriminate certain ethnicities in favor of the others. That's just one example of bias mm-hmm. In AI. Just like university admission, you can think about decisions about creditworthiness, for instance, right? These days, the world of finance is using extensively these tools, and therefore financial decisions depend upon the data through which the algorithms are constructed. So we have to be very, very careful. Another issue which is related to it is that sometimes we confuse correlation with causation, right? AI takes a bunch of data and makes a conclusion. Am I worthy of credit or not, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a famous saying that says there's data, more data than there's lies, there's big lies, and then there's statistics, right? So there's nothing wrong about statistics, but the use of it. Let me give you an example. Right. Let's say that you find that more workers are employed in states with higher minimum wages. Right. Mm-hmm. Does this mean that higher minimum wages lead to higher employment rates? That's not necessarily true, because perhaps states with better job markets are likely to raise their minimum wages rather than the other way around. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is due to the fact that we are not measuring all the variables, and some variables remain hidden. Those are called confounding variables. Right? And the absence of measurement of this variable might generate some confusion in these causation processes. Here, the fact that there's a better job market is not taken into account, and therefore can induce to making the wrong conclusions. So another big issue that comes with AI is the one of privacy. Right? For two reasons. One is that it's much easier to infer sensitive data from seemingly innocent data. A few years ago, there was this famous case of a customer of Target who received at home a targeted advertising, a flyer, advertising for natal products or prenatal products. Mm-hmm. The customer was a young teenager, so the father was really enraged and protested against the Target. It was the conclusion was that the young lady was actually pregnant, And the way Target managed to infer that was from a change in the selection of certain creams, right? As you probably know, when women become pregnant, their sense of smell gets altered, right? This alteration caused her to pick another cream, which then induced this algorithm to trigger this conclusion, which in this case was correct. So we have to be careful about privacy. The other big problem about privacy is that we don't care enough about it, right? So if we don't care enough about it, then market forces will not be sufficient to preserve our privacy, and therefore regulation should step in, but as we know, that doesn't always happen.
People forfeit their privacy for convenience in a lot of cases, I'm assuming.
Yes. For convenience or for other other goals, right? If you go on Facebook, people give up their privacy for nothing or for a like, for instance.
So I think we can sum all that up to say, yes, the robots will kill us. It's what you're really getting down to. So.
No, robots will not kill us. Ignorance will kill us.
Doc, thank you so very much. Very interesting. Appreciate that. Good to know that all the good work's coming out of WashU here in St. Louis. Have a great day. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You want to hear why I love this show?
Why?
Why I love doing this show, being a part of this team. It's not everywhere that you can be speaking to one of the world's preeminent artificial intelligence scientists on KMOX radio, and then he moves a little bit in his chair, and it squeaks, and this one over here thinks he farted and just starts losing it as only Trish Gazelle can.
I feel like all four, when that noise happened, all four of us sat straight up in our chairs.
Yes, but all but one of us just kept a flat affect because we're talking to a very important man.
I didn't make a noise.
And one of us just went down.
I didn't make a noise. I didn't say anything. It's not what happened.
She's like,
you know, speaking of AI, there's been like this trend lately where people will plug in phrases to AI and be like, what do you think the end of the world looks like? And a computer will work for 5 or 6 hours, like generating an image of what the artificial, like it goes and researches like everything there is to research and then they put it together into an image. They're really creepy and cool.
On KMOX, this will out me for something I'm not doing, because you guys know we've been talking about sex robots forever, but the creepiest AI, the ones who say the creepiest things are the sex robots. Whenever they'll do like an article and they're like, oh my gosh, Lolita knows everything. And then they ask her something. She's like, humans will die. You know, it's like they're the ones
like
who are saying
said
all the crazy
articles,
stuff.
Like not the one at your house. It's the articles.
Look, the one at my house is reasonable.
The article said.
Well, I mean, can talk to that one.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you surprised that the sex robots have a bunch of negative things to say? Their existence is pain.
Yeah, no. I don't blame them.
Yeah, that's true. They probably don't have
before they leave the factory. They might not even know what they're really made for, but
yeah, they might not have the best opinion.
Right. And they don't like us. Go figure.
Yeah.
Is it taste weird? This is one of the songs I can't stand.
Is it because of the cowbell thing and the whole reason?
No,
hilarious.
My whole life. Like when I was in high school and I was like, you know, just being introduced to new bands and new songs, and I loved almost all of them. And for some reason, this one in Blue Oyster Cult just never hit.
You know what song does it for me, or same as you? Pinball Wizard.
Oh, that's Dave's theme.
I can't stand it. Cannot stand it.
That's used his to anthem.
Hate it.
Yeah. When I was about 10, everyone goes, if you had a theme song, what would it be? And I go, probably Pinball Wizard. And I'd never even seen a pinball machine before. I'm like, probably that.
We used to love pinball machines. We had a pinball machine in our basement.
Of course.
No, because my dad was into antiques. He had an antique store. Wizard. So he had an antique pinball machine that we had that I played all the time.
Man, you had a good life. You know, you did. It's nothing. You should be glad. loving
like,
family.
I had a pinball machine in my basement.
This is a trap.
No, it's not a trap.
I feel
all.
Like it's a trap, so I'm not
the
saying anything.
Ultimate
it's
privilege.
Not. I mean, I was very, and you know, great. I was very middle class, lower middle class, whatever you want to say. My dad worked at the factory at AB, you know, union, overtime every week. But yeah, I had a good, I mean, it was as good as, we didn't know any different.
Sure, none of us did.
No, it was, you can't have this. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just keep asking. She'll just keep telling me no. It was almost a game. I knew I wasn't getting it, whatever it was.
No,
but
I'm very jealous of you. Unless you seem to have had a really, really good.
You know what we got upbringing. That was like really special when we got it in our basement was an air hockey table.
Mm.
When everybody started getting those at the same time, it felt like. I wish I still had one.
Were
we should
good?
Get one for the office.
Ooh, that would be
I have
fun.
One.
No, I was terrible.
I've got an air hockey table.
You do?
Yeah. I can't speak to whether or not it probably hasn't been plugged in and 10 years at least, but it's still there. It's still kicking
nice.
In the basement.
Yeah, I'm sure the air, like, people who play any game long enough develop a strategy.
Right.
But mine in air hockey was always just frenetic.
Yeah.
You just, yeah.
Movement.
Every now and then you get lucky and it goes in and you're like, yep.
What's the thing called where you got the handles? And
foosball.
Foosball.
Okay, I was never good at
Zero
that.
Zero skill.
Still, I can't even figure it out.
Zero. No, all I can do is go
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
like,
if I can spin, I'm pretty good. But if you play people who are like, no spins,
yes.
then I'm out.
I figured that one out. I got pretty good at foosball. I had a friend with that had that in their basement. And I got decent at it. I know the blocks. I know the moves. I know the.
You can like pass from one guy to the other.
Yeah, I know
the
passes.
Stick.
And then when you're set up, that's when you do the big spin, and that's like that's the kill
only
shot.
Only thing like that. The only parlor game I was ever any good at was ping pong, and even then I wasn't like competing, but like I could play that.
He's Forrest Gump.
But like when
he had his sweatbands like on his head and his wrist.
Brad Wells, we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. They had a pool table in their basement.
Yes, we did too.
So I remember.
They were great.
And just like nothing.
And she had a pool table in her basement.
I did have it was an antique as well. I was pretty good. I will say I could probably play a pretty good mean game of pool right now.
Did they serve pizza at your house? Because it sounds like you grew up in
frozen
a Chuck E.
Cheese.
Pizza. Were there bands, DJs?
We didn't have anything outside. We had to go across. Our neighbors across the street had a trampoline, so they were the cool house, a tetherball.
Oh, man, I forgot about tetherball.
Which was so much fun.
I wanted nothing. Even now, as a 30-year-old, I wanted nothing like I wanted a trampoline. Oh,
pretty great.
The best.
I could never do them.
Really?
Yeah.
You were scared?
Did they make you dizzy?
Yeah. I mean, yes to everything. Like,
yes, I was dizzy, and yes,
like,
I was scared.
I dreaded it. I just dreaded it. Like, I dreaded it in school, because we had, like, gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, hey, do a forward flip. And I'm like, you know what? My spleen just erupted. I couldn't do anything. And then, like, my most dreaded fear was the backyard trampoline where you're like, I have a 50% shot of breaking my neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fly off into the woods.
I jumped off the trampoline into the leaves. That's how I got all my messed up.
There you go.
It can happen.
Yeah.
If you're stupid enough.
Yeah, no. Some reason from the very beginning I saw that and I'm like, not for me. Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Kevin Wheeler joins us, brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort relief at the Good Feet Store. Kev, you still at the MAC? Y'all still drunked up?
Nah, there were plenty of that, but no. This is just I'm working from home today because that because
his feet hurt from his nice shoes.
I know that's it, right? I need a physical recovery day from having to wear nice shoes and a tie. Like this is what do they call that again? I'm in my safe space.
You know what we need to do? You just inspired me. Starting at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to replay the Jack Buck Awards from last night.
I got to tell you, the program was really good. I mean, some of the stories told, blues legend Gary Unger pretty much stole the show, man. He was hilarious. And it was fitting that he was getting the Bob Plager Legends Award because he was channeling Bob Plager with the stories last night. He was fantastic, man. But all of the award winners were great and entertaining. And David Backus did a great job. Isaac Bruce is always great. But yeah, Gary Unger stole the show last night.
That's very cool. That's great.
And cool for him too, because, you know, I think he said he lives in Oklahoma City, so it's not like he walks around Oklahoma City being recognized.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like if he's here, people will be like, oh, look at that hair, Gary Unger. That's Gary Unger. He played for the Blues and he scored a lot of goals and he got in a lot of fights. He's a super popular player. He's the captain of the team.
Yeah.
But I think living in Oklahoma City, he just, you know, he's probably just Gary. But he was here last night and had a blast.
Probably the best of both worlds.
I would agree with that. You know, it's funny. I know David Backus pretty well from covering the team when he was a rookie all the way through to when he left. And we did I did some stuff for his charity, the Athletes for Animals. And we were talking before we did our interview last night on Sports Open Line how they're in Southern California now because he finished his career in Anaheim. And he's like, it's odd because I can just go out in public. And it's not like everybody recognizes me. If I'm in St. Louis, everybody recognizes me.
Does he miss it? Does he miss that recognition?
I think a little bit. It's again, like you said, Dave, it's best of both worlds. You know, I think sometimes it's cool to be recognized, but I do think that gets old if it happens all the time and you can't feel like you can't go do anything, like go out to lunch without people, you know, hey, that's David Backus or somebody coming up for an autograph. But I think they all have mixed feelings about it because when you don't have it, you know, I got to believe you miss it a little bit.
Yeah. This next story combines sports and politics, but I thought it was really interesting. Wheels, did you see the story about the University of Pennsylvania swimmer?
I did not.
So there is a UPenn swimmer who is transgender competing in female sports. Before that, this person competed in male sports, and in her first meet, the closest person to her was 38 seconds, and she broke 3 collegiate records for the event. And so people, it's one of those interesting things. Like, so many people have one opinion of transgender rights until it's sports, and then they're like, well, this isn't fair. So thoughts, analysis?
I think we should all, in some way, shape, or form, find a way to get some medical and scientific experts to come up with what they think of this, because I'm not smart enough to know about this, but it certainly, you know, you certainly look at, you know, the difference between men and women. There's a reason why they have men's basketball and women's basketball. There's a reason why they split the sports. It's just genetics, right? I mean, you know, there might be a few women that can compete with men, but probably not at the highest of levels. You think of like the Williams sisters and how dominant they are. I had tennis players tell me that they probably would fit in around, you know, the 100th best men's player in the world. And I don't know that that's true. It's a guess, but that tells you a pretty big story. And I think we've got to find a way to get to the point where we can talk to scientists and doctors and let them use their expertise and knowledge to tell us what we should do with this, because I don't feel like I know it well enough. You know, I don't want to discriminate against anybody, but I also don't want the unfair advantage that it appears in this case.
I agree. I don't think that's a cop-out. I mean, I agree. Like, someone who's a non-medical scientist who has an opinion, your opinion's valid. It's your opinion. But, like, okay, what's that based on? And I don't have anything either. Thoughts, ladies, around the horn?
Yeah, I mean, if there was, you know, I don't even know if there's an established set of experts in this, but if you had 5 or 10 of them and they could come up with some kind of answer, I think we should go with that.
Yeah. Trish Rage, anything?
I'm with Wheels.
Yep, me too. I mean, I do not want to discriminate against anyone. I think they should do everything that they want to do. But is it fair to all the other people on the team? I don't have that answer. It seems to be not, but I don't know what the answer is. What's the solution? I don't know. I mean, how do you just tell somebody, well, you can't play because of this?
Yeah. But I think we would playground rules would agree that no one should have an unfair advantage.
Correct.
Like, right. If you just train more than someone else and you were just born bigger and taller and stronger, okay. But
your genetic makeup makes it so you're going to beat the pants off everyone else, so to speak, then yeah.
Anything else going on in the world of sports?
So, as far as local stuff, the Blues are playing tonight, and they're in a really interesting spot because I don't know how you guys feel about this. This is not too deep in the weeds on sports stuff, but basically the Blues have a couple of traditional injuries, right? Upper body, lower body, like normal injuries for some of their key players. And they also have a few players that are on the COVID list now. So because of all of that, and because the NHL has not come up with any way to adjust the salary cap, they have to play shorthanded tonight. They're going to play with a roster smaller than the Florida Panthers. They will, instead of having 18 skaters, they're going to have 17 skaters because they're not allowed, based on cap rules, to call anybody up for tonight's game. So, I mean, I've talked a bit about this on Sports Open Line, but this is an odd thing, right? I mean, we're all trying to figure out, you know, operating in the COVID world and how we can figure things out. You would think that a league wouldn't make a team play shorthanded because of guys on the COVID list, right? You would think that would be an automatic, okay, you can replace them, no big deal. It's just got to be a minimum salary player. But obviously that's not the case for tonight.
Gotcha.
And that happened, by the way, for the Blues last week. The same thing caused them to have a backup goalie be the emergency goalie. You know how the emergency goalie thing works in hockey?
No.
It's just a regular dude on the street. It's somebody that does not play for the organization, that does not play in the minor leagues, but they have them, and you know, like this will be the fallback guy in a city. And actually, the Maple Leafs, I think it was, had a guy like that. It's, again, dude sitting in the stands. They called him down. He put on the stuff because the two first goalies got hurt, and he finished the game and got the win. And the guy for the Blues didn't have to play last week, but this is a regular dude. I mean, he makes goalie masks for a living. He used to play, but he's not an active professional player. But because of the NHL's dumb rules, you had to have that guy sitting on the bench for a professional hockey game, an NHL game, which is, again, like weird and stupid.
Why is that the rule? Like, what's the reasoning behind it?
It's a great question. I think, you know, this exists, like, say tonight, you have two, you know, both goalies get hurt. There will be somebody at Scott Trade Center who's that emergency goalie. Who, again, just it'll be a,
like the air marshal or something. Like, yeah. If I need to step in, right. I will.
Right. It's somebody that probably played college hockey and, you know, they're just regular working people and they could get that call if two goalies get hurt. And I guess it's because they don't want to travel around with three goalies.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's expensive and you would like your young goalies to be in the minor leagues actually playing, you know, not what, being though? Up there and sitting
the,
around.
The lawyer in me is like, what liability? Like, you know, let's say that you bring some 57-year-old guy from you know, Home Depot out and he ends up taking one to the throat. It's like, just do what they do in the NFL where some tight end that threw a couple passes in college. Just get someone who's already a hockey player just to stand there and try to stop the pucks.
You know, it's funny. Like, yeah, it's usually a younger person that again, played at some kind of high level. But I'm with you. Like, you know, on a baseball team, you have two catchers typically. If they both get hurt, somebody else on that roster's got to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't understand why you couldn't just – for, again, emergency purposes only, have a couple of other players on the team like, well, buddy, your turn. Put the gear on.
Yeah.
Just the way that it is. I don't know, but the NHL does a lot of weird things, and obviously these are a couple of them.
Kevin, is there a – I don't know how the cap works, clearly. Is there a minimum number? So you said they'll have 17. Is there a number you can't go below, or it just all depends on how the salaries add up?
I'm not aware of anything that says you can't have – you have to have the specific number to play. I mean, so like for example,
so you
like,
could have 15.
I've never seen it, but maybe you know. I mean, like, this is, again, this is the problem with this though, is the NHL doesn't allow for these kinds of quick resolutions where it's like, you know, we all know that this is happening all across the league. It's not just happening to the Blues, and to be able to, you know, just replace somebody that goes on the COVID list when you're going to be shorthanded, and it just, you know, just on the condition that it's a minimum salary contract, it just has to be somebody that doesn't make anything more than that. I don't understand, because other sports all have those kinds of exceptions when it comes to the cap.
You want to hit 352 DG? Ask Kevin Wheeler with us from his home. I didn't plan on talking about this, and it's so boring, but I have to get it out of my face. I just saw an ad for Consumer Cellular, then I saw another one for Mint, the one that Ryan Reynolds has. You know where I'm too big of a punk to do something? Like, I've been with Sprint forever. They just became, I think, T-Mobile. So now I'm with T-Mobile. And no one likes any, you know, like, no one ever says, like, oh, I love my carrier. But I am way too frightened to go with, like, Mint Mobile or Community Cellular or Jake's cell phone company. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't trust it.
And it's a hassle. I think that's another thing to change.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go through all the hoops, set up a new phone. It's like so overwhelming. I think most people are like that, where they just stick to what they have. If it's working.
They've got me scared.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got me scared.
I hear Jake's is pretty great, though. Yeah, you know, it's when I first moved here, the service that I had didn't work downtown at all. I would drop calls. So then I switched just out of necessity. And it's been pretty smooth since. I mean, I have some problems. Like, how about this? My worst signal is in my house.
Like, yeah, I've had that before.
We have a booster like in our house that helps us improve the cell signal.
I bet your wife put a blocker on you.
I mean, in all honesty, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Trish, how to tell people the party is over and leave your house?
Yeah, because of the holidays, most people are hosting parties. So they did this big article where etiquette experts tried to give you advice on the most polite way to tell somebody to get out. I mean, if anybody has any fun ones, you can call. But they were just basically saying, I mean, one of the ladies said, well, you can really just say, it's been really nice to have you all here together tonight. I'm getting a bit sleepy from the exciting. This is what she's telling you to say. I'm getting sleepy from the exciting evening, and I'm going to have to call tonight very soon. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
They're like, all right, go to bed.
While you're in your house.
I have literally had that happen.
We'll turn the lights out on our way out.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
So wait, you were having a party, and you wanted everybody to leave, or vice versa?
Not a party. It's been a long time since I've had a party, but like friends over, like good friends, and I'll be like, well, this is about my bedtime. And they're like, cool, dude.
And that was it. They just left.
Well, no, they stayed.
You fake a phone call.
Oh, you just went to bed.
Just go to your bedroom and never come back out.
Yeah.
The other advice was just like to start cleaning up and then maybe they would get the hint.
That's pretty passive aggressive, though, isn't it?
Maybe I'm just the jerk in the room, but I just tell them to leave.
Like, hey,
you're the
leave. Like, hey, guys, party's over. Time to go. See ya. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
I think we expect that from you. Like, your personality, you know what I'm saying? It would be funny and we would all get up and leave. There's some people who just can't pull that off and be like, well.
Like everyone but you.
So what I'm saying is you got to start implementing that personality in advance.
Or we'll just record Kevin.
Let people adjust to you being kind of just like brash.
I mean, I do with a laugh. It's not like I get out there and start like throwing crap at people, but it's like, all right, time to go. Hello. Gotta lock up.
Hello, Dan. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, the way my uncle got everybody out of the house is he would go into the kitchen, the bowl, and just look at you.
With a cereal bowl?
Cereal and a bowl at night. So he would say, it's about time for bed. Bye.
That's
good.
I mean, it's a move.
It's creepy enough to work, I'll tell you that.
Very subtle.
Hello, Eric. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so for my wife, so she doesn't come off as the bad guy, she makes me walk out for, like, after Christmas in, like, my boxers and a pajama shirt.
Isn't it crazy the things we do?
That's the signal.
For our significant other.
Well, there he is in his boxers. Right? I guess it's time to go.
Like, when he was dating his wife, if someone would have said, like, dude, one of these days you're going to get in your underwear because your wife tells you, like, shut up.
I still am struggling with the cereal thing.
I think it's just, like, do something weird to get people to clear out. They feel uneasy and they leave.
Could be potato soup. You could be brushing your hair. Like, anything like that, you're just like, let's get the hell out of here.
Start taking the cups and plates from their hands.
Thank you, Wheels.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.